All right, welcome everybody to another episode of 21 Going on 77. I am one half of the dynamic duo. It is your boy Dwight at 517-2214. Joined again as I am every week with the brains of the operation, the young Shaq to my Kobe. I'm sorry, the young Kobe to my Shaq. Young SJ at SJ Basketball 8. Family, I know because of what happened earlier this afternoon, you are doing good. We're about to talk about it. But tell me, how you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, listen, a Liberty win does a lot for my mental health. So them winning today was great, especially given that I was there in person and it was an elimination game. And I've never been to a elimination game for any of my teams. So just the nerves from that alone is just ridiculous. But they're able to fight back and force a game four. So I mean, one thing I can commend them about is being like, or giving the fans basically all the home games possible for a season. You know what I'm saying? So there's gonna be game four. Obviously game five is played in Vegas, so yeah, they all the games possible for fans. So kudos to them for giving the fans that.
Yeah, it was I did watch it. I watched well, I think I watched it until I think John Quayle hit a dagger with like 3 minutes to go, and I was like, I'm turning this shit off. I ain't about to fuck my mood up. But I watched the whole game, and they just had Shane. Like, the energy they played with, I think defensively, like, to me, that was the biggest difference. I think the Aces been bullying y'all guards, bro, like dead ass, like targeting them. Sabrina been getting put in a blender, and I just think y'all show shame, and that was even before Chelsea Gray got hurt. Like, that it was just shame being showed. It was hard defense. The little strategy switch up I thought was important. It was just a good game. It was good tactical decision. Like, as a bandwagon Aces fan, I'm not gonna hold you. I'm a little nervous now that Chelsea Gray is gone. What do you think? This shit's still cooked, or what are we talking about?
So here's the thing. I initially coming into this game, I just wanted us to win this one so that we just didn't have a sweep on the resume, right? Just win, one game at a time, but understanding that beating this team three times in a row, because that's the situation we found ourselves in. We had to beat them three times in a row to win a championship. I felt like that was just a very tall task, but now you put the Chelsea Gray equation in there, and I mean, I didn't see what happened. I still don't even really know what happened.
I don't either, just to
I heard
keep
it's a foot
talking.
injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was sitting, because in the arena, you're not hearing the broadcast or anything like that. I just noticed it was like four like minutes left, and then Kristen Bell was in the game. So I was like, wait, wait, wait. I was like, if she's playing, that means one of their core, players aren't playing. So I looked and I was like, Miss Chelsea. And I looked to the bench, she wasn't there. So I was like, I don't. And then I didn't have service because the arena was so packed, I barely had service the entire game. So I couldn't even really look up like what was the issue. So I was just like, I'm not sure. She didn't close. So I was like, what's going on? And when I finally got service, I saw that he was a foot injury. They're saying that when they saw her in the tunnel, she was saying like something popped. And she was screaming and crutches and all that, and I mean, you never want to see that. So I mean, the she probably, I mean, depending, game four is on Tuesday, right? I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday. Pretty sure it's Tuesday. It might be Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember. But that doesn't give you that much time to compare to game one or game two to game three, where it was like that
Yeah,
was played Wednesday. Yeah.
it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, okay. So that gives her a couple days, if the X-rays are like clean, but we just don't have an update right now to see. But if it's something serious and she's down, I mean, that's their point guard, arguably. I mean, in the series, I feel like the second best player has been, I mean, Jackie Asia interchangeably, if you wanna look at it, and then Plum is there, but Chelsea's the engine, that makes it go. She's their point guard, and they're already kind of, if you look at the Aces, they play six players. The Aces play six players. They've done that all postseason long. They play their, starting five, and then Alicia Clark off the bench. No one else really plays, because they lost, Raquana Williams, domestic abuse, all that. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but yeah, so they hadn't allowed her back on the team. Yeah, and then Candace Parker being out. So yeah, they really lost depth. And if Chelsea's out, then it becomes a little like what are you gonna do? Play five? You know what I'm saying? At this point, they can't really do that, I don't think. Yes, it's the finals, but you do gotta give your guys a breather. So I'm assuming Kirsten Bell might step up to the plate. I know Becky mentioned Sid Colson. She's a guard, so that would make sense. You lose a guard, you put another one in there. But I mean, to your point about the guards, like cooking our guards, like I mean, that was what I was watching for. Like prior to the matchup starting, I was like, okay, Aces, of course, they're the best team in the league. Shouldn't be a shock if they win, but I knew if they're gonna win, it was because of their guards were gonna be better than ours. And that's exactly what had happened throughout the series. Their guards have just been so much more better than our guards on both ends, and you can't have that. And in this matchup, like you said, even before Chelsea got hurt, we were really limiting their guards. And even though our guards, I wouldn't say like Sue and Sabrina had like extremely great games, but just defensively, we flipped some of the matchups. So Sabrina, instead of her being on one of the guards, now she was guarding Kia Stokes, the center, and helping off Kia Stokes. And they put Stewie on, I think they put Stewie on Chelsea, give her more length, and Bettanija was now on Jackie. And Bettanija's our, best guard defender, and Jackie has been their best guard. So I feel like that just kind of neutralized some of the things Vegas wanted to do, and it was a big reason as to why we controlled the game, really. And then now with Chelsea being out, I don't even think that really affects the or adjustments that we made, because now I feel like that's gonna open up more room. Like I said, Stewie was on Chelsea. That was the adjustment. Now Chelsea's out. I feel like it's gonna give Stewie more room to like roam and be that kind of wrecker on defense as a four, really. So I mean, Jonquel too, I gotta shout her out. She's been steady. She's been our finals MVP. Like, even though we've been losing, she had shown up basically every single time. And if we, can keep it going, I would love to see her get a finals MVP if we somehow shock the world and come back from down two. Essentially, that's basically equivalent to coming back down 3-0 in a 7-game series. So, I mean, not impossible now with Chelsea being out, but also I wouldn't like count on it. You know what I'm saying? Because the Aces are still formidable. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though they were going through a lot, we made all these adjustments, it's not like we blew them out the water. You know what I mean? Like, we were up big, but it's not like it was. I mean, they just beat us 28, like, by 28.
Oh, I thought y'all was taking a broom. I ain't gonna hold you.
I saw people. I didn't feel that. Even though I was nervous for the game, I didn't feel like a sweep is harsh, bro. Like a sweep is, especially I know the Liberty. We got great home court, despite what Mike Wilbon, whatever fuck you
Why
want to talk about.
why did he say that?
I don't know why he said that. Like
Like
that's far from the truth. We have one of the best in the league, if
I was
not the
about to
best,
say
next to the Aces.
that bitch be jumping every single big game. Like
Literally, not even just every game, like it's jumping, it's legit. I've been to Nets games and Liberty games. They are louder than Nets games, or they are. Like, it took me 16 minutes to get. I usually just walk right up and go in. It took me 16 minutes just to get inside. Like, it
Oh,
was so
no.
packed. Yes, it was so packed. The only time I've been to a basketball game that rivaled that was when I went to a couple years ago, and I went to the Knicks Christmas game. It took me a good 20 minutes to get in, but that was like the closest a Knicks Christmas game. Like I said, like it'd be jumping in there. Yeah, so the energy was great. So that's why I was like, okay, I feel like we're gonna force a game four. Maybe the Aces can split, and win on our floor. And I was like, if they so happen to win today, I wasn't gonna sit down and watch their fucking celebration on our home floor. My sister was asking, she was like, oh, are you gonna stay for the to watch them? I was like, are you kidding me? Like, why would
Listen,
I
listen, listen,
stay?
listen, listen, listen. I knew he was recording this today. If they would have won, I was going, my opening line was going to be, did the confetti injure you? Did any of
Oh
it get in your
boy.
eye? And I couldn't get that shit off no more.
Yeah, I'm glad. But I mean, you got another opportunity. I mean, no, I won't be there on Tuesday, but they got another opportunity to win on our home floor. But like I said, if Chelsea's out, but then things like that can spark a team. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, your point guard goes down. We got to go harder for her. So, like, I'm not writing off the Aces in no shape or form just because Chelsea's injured right now and it looks to be like something serious. You know what I'm saying? I'm not writing off those ladies. They're a championship team. You know, I always, you know, have a level of respect for championship teams. So we're trying to get there. Yeah, we have people like players on our squad that have won before, but we've never won it as a group before. They have. So I always gotta respect that. So we'll see. At this point, again, we gotta take it one game at a time. And in game five, anything could happen. Anything could happen. So one game at a time.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be good. I want the Aces to win, but like as a bandwagon fan, they've already given me what I signed up for. I jumped in and they gave me a chip. I'll be honest, I want them to win really bad. I don't want them to lose to y'all. I gotta be honest. I like Marine, but I really don't like nobody else on y'all team. Dead ass. I just don't. I don't want to get into the reasons why, but I just don't. And I hope they pull it out, but we'll see what's going on with Chelsea Gray, and we'll see what shakes. I think it's gonna be good. Both of my sons have soccer game. No, I have nothing Wednesday, so I'm actually gonna be able to watch the game. My sons both have soccer games Tuesday, so I'm gonna actually be able to lock in Wednesday night. So I'm excited. All right, moving on. I think we've only talked about the Mavs as far as the NBA for the last two or three episodes. So I haven't really been tapped in the preseason. I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. Outside of a little bit of Mavs, I haven't watched a single second of NBA preseason basketball. I haven't. So I'm going to ask you, and you're going to educate me and the listeners who also may have not really been watching the other teams around the league. Who's looking good? What rookies are looking good? Who has impressed you? Who has been like, oh, wait a minute. Like he might need some time, or he just might not be good. Who has stepped out to you in as far as around the league, as far as teams and players?
So I mean, just because they're on right now and I've been watching, okay, first, before I say that, I'll start by saying I have been watching the preseason games. However, I don't think I've watched, other than the Mavs games, I don't think I've watched one game in its entirety because you know how preseason goes. I usually watch like the first half, and then by the second half, that's when coaches are pulling their guys, so I kind of tap out unless they're like rookies that I want to see. With that being said, Lakers are on. I have seen a few of their games. This is the first, no, this is the second time I'm watching the Bucks, I believe. I watched the I think I watched their first game, the one where basically none of their guys were playing. Because who were they playing? They were playing a team. I think they had like their full squad too, but whatever. That's not important. Bucks, I mean, this is the first Dame Giannis game. The Bucks kind of, I mean, they kind of look like they're building chemistry, definitely. I mean, they're up right now at the half, but they do look like a team that's like building chemistry. Giannis is looking good. Dame is looking good. I think Dame is gonna be really good in this lower usage kind of role. Like he's gonna have like, I mean, he's already a great shooter. Offensively, he's off the charts. But like, I feel like with less responsibility, he's gonna be even more off the charts. And then Giannis again on his side with less responsibility, he's gonna be great too. They're still playing without Middleton. I don't think Middleton is gonna play this preseason. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the reporting on that. Like, if they're looking to get him into a game before the season starts. I know they said he's on track to be ready for the opener, but I don't know if they're gonna try to get him into a game before the season start. We'll see. But the rest of the guys have been okay. I mean, Marjon Beauchamp. He looked eh in the other previous games when he was playing with like fucking Tanasis and all these other dudes, but he's looked solid in this one. And then on the Lakers side, I feel like D'Lo, he's one of the ones that has stood out to me in the preseason. He's looked really, really good, and I feel like he just might be a guy where it's like Powell, where to get him to really play well, just you gotta give him some competition like in the rotation. I mean, I feel like the last couple teams D'Lo's been on, like, He's been the guy, like he's been the answer. So even if he's playing poorly, you can't bench him because who are you gonna put in? You know the game. It was like on the Timberwolves. Like, are you gonna play Jordan McLaughlin? You know what I'm saying? Over him. That was his backup. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, who are you playing over him? In Brooklyn, he played well when he had Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, staring down at him off the bench. And in LA, again, granted, they had a few options that they went to, but last year, you know, you had to play him. And now with Gabe Vincent, you know, looking, and they were talking about, granted, he won a starting spot, but the fact that it was like in training camp, we will see. It wasn't like it's just handed to you. It kind of, you know, lit something under him, I feel like. And he's looked really, really good. AD has looked phenomenal, I feel like, just on both sides. And who else has stood out to me in their rotation? I mean, Wood stinks. Sorry, as usual. I just will never get over it because, like, y'all ran me down, bro, in Jamaica. I don't know if they say it in like American phrasing, but in Jamaica, there's a phrase where if you are it's called you're running the person down. That means you're kind of telling somebody who holds an opinion that nah, they're wrong, they're wrong. And that was happening last year. Like, I stood 10 toes down with my Wood opinion. And granted, I left space and opportunity for him to. It wasn't like I had an opinion and I was never gonna change it, like, regardless. Like, I waited for information, like new information to be presented to me just in case I needed to, you know, alter my opinion. And that never happened. That never happened. I stood 10 toes. Y'all were saying this to, like, I maintain this dude is a backup, like a backup big in the league. Should never get good minutes, like real legit minutes on a serious team. Y'all told me no, that's wrong, this that, he can start, blah blah. Then y'all just y'all were the ones that, you know, periodically, like, kind of started altering your opinions. We're like, okay, maybe he's not a, you know, starting center on a contender, but like, we're not a contender, so he should play anyway. Like, it became like y'all started moving the goalposts to the point where now he's playing a role that I had said that he should be playing, and y'all told me I was wrong, and now he's in that role. And he's a non-factor, a non-factor. That is what I always saw in him. And at this point, granted, it's just preseason, but unless I see him playing legit minutes on a real contending team, that's the only thing that will get me to change my opinion of him. I know he could put up numbers on a bad team. I know that. Like, that's not like that's anything. Can he
It don't move you.
Exactly, it does not move me. But and anyway, like I said, I've always said I don't want to bring up Wood too much, but it's too good, bro. It's too good. Like, this is anyway. He's a bum, is my point. And the Lakers rookies, they've looked, I mean, Hood Schifino, he makes nice reads, but his offense is not gonna be there, I feel like, all the way. And I think Maxwell Lewis, he's been okay, but he isn't gonna be a guy that is like in the rotation, I feel like. Other moving on from like Lakers and Bucks, I mean, other rookies around the association, other than, like, you know, everybody's been talking about Wemby. I'm not gonna spend too much time on him
So,
because y'all know.
no, okay.
Y'all know. Do you, I
So,
mean, yo, y'all, go ahead.
okay. So, I didn't watch. I watched maybe 5 minutes live, and he wasn't even on the court just when I was getting my sons ready for bed that night. But hey, man, the highlights, like he's it. Like that shit didn't look real. I've watched basketball a long time. I ain't never seen no shit like that, SJ. I won't say I had my doubts about him, but I was just like, you know, all this shit is sweet and it's still preseason, but let's see when you strap up against NBA pros. And yeah, man, that motherfucker looked like an alien. He literally looks like an alien. He looks like something I've never seen before. That's just my two cents on Wemby. I just had to get that out.
Yeah, I mean, he listen, he looks damn, like, he looks crazy. It's like he's
There.
playing and you're like, what is my team gonna do with him, kind of thing. And I
Yeah.
mean, you could see the type of defenders that could maybe get success, you know, against him early. Like, I feel like a big body guy is gonna be able to, you know, body him up and stuff like that. But at the same time, That's fine, you know, for a guy who's in his rookie year. When he gets that straightened out, it's like you see the potential, you see the flashes, like you see everything that, you know, makes him generational, you know, the passing chops where you're comfortable that, like, or you know, you're comfortable with the fact that he's going to be able to initiate offense, an efficient offense at that. You know, when the time comes for him to be in his prime, you see the defense. I mean, the defense is going to be there day one. I feel like you're seeing it. He's defending two dudes, you know, on damn near every play in the post. He's not, I wouldn't say he's like a switch big, but like he's so long that if you beat him, like if you know, you beat him, he's right there gonna block your shit anyway. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't even matter. Sometimes he likes getting beat. Sometimes he lets the dudes beat him so he can go recover for a block. You see the, you know, shooting. I don't think his three ball, I mean, he's probably gonna like it's the team. The three ball is definitely gonna be what teams, you know, live with, and they're gonna leave him open, and he's gonna have to make them consistently. I think he'll make them around, I'll say he'll be in like the early 30s, in his rookie season, no more than 33%. That's just my prediction. Could be higher, but I think he'll be around like that 33%, or 31, 32% mark. But the midi looks good. The midi looks real good. And I mean, no one's gonna contest that. You know what I'm saying? When he raises up to shoot. So he's tantalizing potential, man. It's just, man, the fucking Spurs. I hate the Spurs. And the Spurs got him, bro. In the most rigged draft. Okay, it's probably not the most rigged draft ever, but it was one of them rigged ones. There is high stakes, and this is where a draft where there were high stakes. They did some, you know, they did some little under the table shit. But he's looked good. I mean, Chet's looked good. I feel like everyone at this point is predicting that it's going to be a Chet Wemby kind of two man race for the rookie of the year. I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, that's a safe prediction. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a very safe prediction. Chet looks like really good. And especially if the Thunder is going to be winning games, like it's going to be hard to ignore his production and impact. Wemby, for obvious reasons, he's going to have all the opportunity. Like, you know, everything's going to run through him in San Antonio. So he'll have a good chance. But I mean, I wouldn't count out Scoot. Scoot looks good. I don't think he's looked, you know, as good as, you know, Wemby or as good as Chet even. But he looks good. You know, he's gonna start at point guard. He's just like he's so like ripped. You know, like he's what, six? I think he's like 6'3", but like he's just so like brolic. Like he's just
Sir.
super brolic. And he's gonna, like, you know what I'm saying? He's gonna, you know, struggle as a rookie, especially rookie guard. Like I don't think he's gonna be super efficient, like at all. But he won't have the you won't worry about, like, you know, sometimes you look at rookies and you're like, damn, they need, you know, they need to eat a meal or two. You know what I mean?
Getting the
Like
weight
they need
room
to,
up and
you
shit
get in
like
the
that.
weight room. Like obviously he can bulk up more, of course, but like he looks so like NBA ready kind of body for a point guard already. So I'm excited to see what he does in Portland. If they could, I want him to move Jeremy Grant so bad, so quickly. He's just not a guy I want around young dudes, bro. Like you saw in Detroit, you know better than me,
I mean,
with
it
how
was the
he just.
preseason, so I didn't want to like gas it up, but bro, he was fucking chucking that bitch against the
Chucking,
Young
bro.
Boys the
He
other night.
chucking. Did you want the ISO post where it's like, he's in the post, y'all just space. I'm gonna. And the thing is, that's not. I don't like that offense for Jeremy because Jeremy Grant cannot pass, bro. You know what I'm saying? He
No.
can't pass, so it's not like he's gonna. You're not doubling on Jeremy Grant. You know what I'm saying? That's not creating an advantage in any way. So I don't want to see it. Move him. And he, like I said, I said this in the last pod, but he has no problem sitting on a bad team chucking shots. Like he's not gonna be a guy that complains, you know, later on saying, oh, I want to be on a contender, get me to, you know, some guys are like, get me to a contender, you know, later. He does not care, bro. He will like stay there and chuck the shots. Therefore, I want them to take it upon themselves to say, okay, Jeremy, here's the deal. You could chill for a couple months until you're eligible. When you're eligible, we're gonna look for trades. Maybe not be too thirsty, like dumping him or anything like that. You know, let him know we're not gonna be thirsty to dump you anywhere. But if something comes up and it looks good, just know you will be moved. That's how I would approach it, you know, if I was the Blazers and, you know, with Jeremy Grant. Because I'm sorry, I'm not leaving him there, especially you have Chris Murray, who I'm surprised hasn't played that much either, in the preseason. But I feel like he could be, you know, something. I mean, you'd match Stiebel's offer to, you know, play him.
He hooped a little bit, a little bit of time he got, hasn't he? Chris Murray?
Chris Murray, what'd you say? Was it Summer League you're talking about?
No, like he played the last preseason game. He hooped a little bit, didn't he?
I mean, he looked okay. He looked decent. Like, he hasn't shown anything crazy, you know what I'm saying? But he looked decent. And I mean, like I said, they have time. They don't need to, like I said, they don't, you know, he's not eligible, of course, to be moved, but they got time to really assess their options with him. And I mean, we're talking about rookies who haven't played, surprisingly. I mean, Hendricks, I've kind of talked about it a little bit on the timeline, and I said in our group chat, but I was like, listen, hindsight is crazy, because if we, like, if Hendricks was there at 10 and we picked him, we probably would have been trading Luka next offseason. Hendricks is not ready to go, bro. I know before, you know, coming like the whole draft process, you know, all of us were enamored, you know, with Hendricks, especially thinking that he would be one of the rookies that would play right away. You know what I'm saying? And he in Utah, I mean, Utah situation for him. I mean, when Utah picked him, I was like, okay, I didn't like it from the get-go. And even they didn't really like it. They said in like, you know, after the draft, they said he was ninth on our draft board.
No shit.
They said that, yes. And if you pick ninth and you get the ninth guy on your draft board, I think that's a, you know, that's basically to me saying that, yeah, he wasn't like one of our top choices.
That's kind of fucked up when you think about it.
Exactly. So, but I think they legit went, like, 'cause I'm on the, I think they wanted Bilal. They really wanted Bilal. And when he was off the board, I think they went, you know, kind of like, okay, we'll take the best prospect available kind of thing. And that's when they went with Hendricks, even though, and then they traded. Did the John Collins trade happen before or after the draft? I can't
I
remember.
think
I think it happened after, right?
it happened after John
After,
Collins
right?
trade
Yeah.
happened out of, I want to say even before free agency.
Right? Yeah. I feel like it was like a little before free agency. Yeah. So you had, you know, you picked a power forward wing kind of guy who can play, you know, small ball center to get, you know, a power forward, and then you already have a stars wing power forward, you know what I'm saying? And then you have, you know, Kessler, who's a baby. You can still got Olynyk. They got a lot. My point is, they got a lot of dudes, like a lot of depth at his position. So no, it's not crazy that he's in playing, but then at the same time, if he was really nice, like if he was like a dude where he was killing it in, you know, training camp, killing it in these games, like he would be playing. You know, he's getting garbage time minutes in the preseason. Like, I was watching the game last night. The Jazz played, who the fuck was it? Portland, yeah. When I was watching last night, and they, like, Will Hardy was running a four guards with Kessler lineup. It was like Agbaji, Sexton, I think Clarkson was out there, and maybe THT and like Kessler. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's trying stuff, and if your rookie can't even play in preseason, you know what I'm saying? That means he's just not nice. And then when he checked in, again, you saw maybe a flash or two, but like he looks slow, lost. He doesn't look just, you know, just
No,
confused.
no, no. Say it. You said in the group chat, you look slow, lost, and confused. That was, I was like, damn.
Because he does, but he did, like, just, and then again, sometimes having a lot of depth above a rookie is not helpful, not just because, oh, you're not playing him, but it's like, okay, when you do play him, he's in his head because he knows the leash is short. If I turn this ball over right now, I could get yanked, and then they got a shit ton of players to replace me with. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of messes with the mentality as well. And I think I don't know. I just wish, I hope that he was in a kind of a better situation for him. But even then, he can, at the end of the day, if you are like really nice, you can carve out minutes in damn near any situation. So, I mean, it's just preseason, obviously. Season's gonna come. Jazz might find themselves, depending on how the season goes, they might find themselves in a situation where, like last year, they're like, we kind of want a good draft pick or a better draft pick. So they might, just play some of the younger dudes. I know Bryce Sensabaugh, I really liked him too pre-draft, and he hasn't played either. Keontae George definitely looks like the best out of their rookies. Like, he was killing in summer league, and he looks like good too in preseason. So I expect him to play. Definitely expect him to play. I don't know how much, because they still have, Clarkson, Sexton. They are playing THT at point guard. I think THT might even start at point guard. So they do have a little bit of point guard depth, but I do expect him to play, because again, he has shown that I'm nice coach, you gotta find, some way to put me in the rotation kind of thing. So I mean, I liked him a lot. Other rookie, I'm trying to think of other rookies who have just looked like, other than like the top guys that have looked just really, really good. But I'm sort of, I mean, Bilal has looked like a defensive monster. I mean, his
Oh yeah,
offense
man.
is gonna need work, but he could defend day one. He's gonna defend day one.
Yeah, he can guard.
He can guard. He can guard. He could really guard. And I mean, those are like the main, like, I might be missing somebody. I'm so sorry if I am, but other than that, I'm not trying to go down quickly, like in the draft list of who like has stood out to me. And like I said, guys could have played well, but just based off what I've seen, nobody else has kind of jumped at me. So we'll see when the season starts, but I do. I mean, Brandon Miller has looked okay too. He will be coming off the bench if I'm not mistaken.
No shit.
So
Interesting.
yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll be. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's been coming off the bench. Like when their starters have played, he has been off the bench. Because I mean, he's playing behind Hayward and the abuser they brought back plays about the same position.
We sure he gonna be able to play?
I mean, he's been practicing with the team. I mean,
I
he's still suspended, so he's
mean,
I
yeah,
think
but
he's, he's gonna miss some games at first, but like,
you know how, like, you know what I'm saying with the what shit was it? It was the dude played for the Rockets, KPJ. Like, you can't just waive a dude for certain things. Like, there's
No, but
some.
that's different. But sorry to
Okay,
cut you off, but he hasn't been around a team like at all.
I got you.
Bridges been practicing like he was practicing
They acting
today.
like that
Like,
shit didn't happen.
yeah, they acting like it hasn't happened. Like he's been with the team practicing and all that. So that's why I'm like, it's a little like if he was away from the team, like just away period, then I would be like, maybe they're not gonna look to play him. But nah, he's been around the team and practicing like up until yesterday. Like he got out, he turned himself in, did all the processing, booking, all that. Got out and went right back to the team. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But I think he's still, I know he got a bunch of time served, but I still think he's a suspended for the first 8 games or so, if I'm not
I
mistaken.
think he got 15, 10 to
Or
15.
15 or something. Yeah. So I know he won't be playing as soon as, I know he won't be playing soon, but yeah.
He need to go. He need to be out the league, like, full stop. And I was willing to, okay, he had to pay for his kids and all that shit. But fam, they gave you a break and you still wilding. And I know whatever what has reportedly happened with that second incident. I mean, it's not as bad as the first, but my boy, you gotta go. Like, I see, here's the thing, like, none of us were there at those incidents, but like, fam, at a certain point, when this shit keep popping up, like, abusers, like, they always do it again. Most people who abuse people, like, they it's not just, oh, I did it one time. Like, and he's just proving what he is, man. They got to get him out of there, bro. They got to get him out of there. They really do. And it's kind of nasty because the only reason they ain't got him out of there is because he's good at basketball. Like,
They wave Kai, no problem. They just
oh
wave Kai Jones, no
yeah, no
problem.
problem, because Kai Jones ain't that good at basketball. And it's fucking wild, because that's really what this all breaks down to. And I get the NBA is a bottom line business, but man, motherfucking old buddy is not the difference between the Charlotte Hornets being, or I understand, I'd somewhat understand if they were a good team. Like, he was the difference between making a championship run or some shit. But, like, nah, they're going to be ass with him. They're going to be ass without him. And he's not going to re-sign there anyway. What we doing? I don't know. But that was I guess, a rant. But yeah, he got to go. He need to be out the
Yeah,
league. He need to
he
be
gotta go.
over in China or some other country where they okay with that type of shit. But he don't need to be. He just don't need to be in the NBA. He needs to sit down for a while, if not forever. But
Yeah, but I
anyway.
mean, I think just one more point about Brandon Miller. I mean, I think he'll be starting sooner or later because I mean, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but as long as if Gordon Hayward is like healthy, like in the sense like if she's or if he's like not hurt at the trade deadline, I think he gets moved. Last year of his deal, yes, it's a
Yeah.
lot of money. It is a lot of money, so you know you're gonna have to move. Like especially if it's a contending team, we're talking about you're gonna have to move contracts to get him. It's not like he's making like 20 mil or something. It's like 34, which is not like a shit ton, but it is. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna have to move some bodies, but I do think he gets moved, honestly. So yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. I actually, as everything is related, I think the Mavs might end up being a decent spot for him. We could actually use him, but we shall see. We shall see. Speaking of the basketball team that plays in downtown Dallas, so I think last time we recorded was right before the Real Madrid game. And someone was in my mentions, called me out because I don't know if it was you, I don't know if it was me, but I was like, there ain't no way. The phrase "there's no way they're losing to Real Madrid" was said on last week's pod, and them boys lost. They got put in a blender by 5-2. Now, with that being said, I thought Kyrie might play, and I didn't think Luka would play 5 minutes, and like they dead ass was beating the shit out of them until the bums started playing. I watched a decent amount of that game. I was impressed, SJ. I know maybe my sunshine pumping is like, to me, I don't know, man. I might be eating some crow on. I don't think Derek Lively is going to be some super good big, but he's the best fucking big on the roster. Am I tripping? Tell me I'm crazy.
I mean, here's the thing. Maxi, usually that title is for Maxi. But Maxi has looked so cooked, bro. He hasn't done a
That young
damn
man is
thing, bro.
washed,
He has
washed.
not done one thing. And I know it's preseason, but like it's worrying that he has not done anything. Like I cannot remember anything that he's done. Like
Right.
I'm talking not But like I'm trying to remember, has Maxi even made a shot? Like I'm trying to look it up right now. Like I don't even remember him making a shot. Like he hasn't been taking. I know he hasn't been taking many. He hasn't been making any. And then on defense, he looks so slow. Like so, I'm just like, he's not doing anything. And Lively's a rookie. Like I said, that's usually best big on the team. That's usually a Maxi kind of title, but. He's in the preseason, the best big has looked like Lively. And again, the bar isn't like super high. Lively hasn't it's not like he's looked so good where it's like, oh my God, but he's looked okay. He's looked okay. And that's more than what some of us can ask for because we thought like I think a good majority of people thought, okay, he's gonna be raw. Like he's gonna take a lot of let me see. Oh, so he went. I'm sorry, I got Maxi's game log in front of me because
Yeah.
I had to really look it up. So he went 1 for 3 in the first preseason game against Minnesota.
Yeah.
For 2 points, he played 7 minutes, then and one rebound. And then the next game, he had 2 points, 1 for 1. Good for you, Maxi. In 13 minutes with 4 rebounds. And in the Real Madrid game, 0 for 2, 0 points, 4 rebounds. So, like I said, yes, has not done a damn thing. Not done anything. So he's not doing anything. Like at least Lively, he can, catch a few lobs here and there. He's gonna be rim, turn rim, all that. Like Max is not doing that no more. Like and granted, that wasn't Maxie's strength anyway, like rim deterrence. Like, yes, he could do it, but that's not where he hung his hat on defense. It was him being a switch big, being able to guard damn near anybody on the floor. And he's just hasn't looked like Maxey. And again, he's getting older. He's had, he had a hamstring tear last year. Just all these injuries piling up. So we don't know how he's gonna look. So Lively, I mean, so far, I mean, we'll see what happens in Detroit. I'm hoping we can get like a full game with like our dudes healthy because we haven't played that like played together like that yet. Hopefully, Kyrie's good to go by then, Luka's good to go, so we can have like a dress rehearsal type game before we go into the season. Granted, it's not like we're playing the Spurs opening night, so it's not like we're playing like the Suns or some super tough, matchup. But still, I would like our guys to build some semblance of chemistry before the season starts. So, we'll see. Like, if that's the case, if our guys are healthy, we'll see who they run for like the starters. But I do think, given the fact that Lively hasn't gotten his spot taken yet, like we've seen a lot of dudes cycle in through that three spot, but Lively has stayed solid at the five. And so I think at this point, I know Stein was reporting that Lively would have to play himself out of the starting spot at this point, that he's kind of in the driver's seat. So good for him. I mean, I like that. Kid said from the beginning, like said from the beginning of training camp, we have three starters right now, Luka, Kyrie, Grant. The other two spots, folks are just gonna have to fight for it. So as much as he did say, yeah, I'm gonna start the rookies in training camp, see how they do, it wasn't something that was like handed to them where it's like you're gonna start no matter what. Like, we saw that with Omax clearly, where they gave him the chance, he didn't really, lived up to it, and now he's not even projected to be in the rotation like that. Which is a little sad, but again, that's how these things go. You know what I'm saying? With these projections, with these rookies, you could think a rookie is, ready all you want. Could look at summer league performances, all that. But when you get to the real games, and again, preseason isn't even the real games yet. So if you're struggling, in the preseason, then it's not gonna look great for the actual, regular season. So I don't expect him to play a ton. Where we were thinking, oh, Derrick Jones Jr. is gonna be like the end of bench guys, that no, that's gonna be Omax. You know what I'm saying? Now, in my head, the Omax is getting that projected Derrick Jones Jr. spot, where I think, yeah, Derrick Jones Jr. is gonna play a lot more than Omax will. Heard that Stein said something like him being in contention for starting a spot. I need kids to like, I understand that you're searching, and I've said they understand that three spot isn't ideal. But at the end of the day, you gotta realize, you've got to understand that internally, we don't have a better option than Josh right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, he's 6'5", he's small. You want somebody bigger, ideally, blah blah blah. It does not matter, bro. Omax isn't there yet. Derrick Jones Jr., especially if you're starting Lively, like assuming Lively is like there and you're really the fifth spot you're looking for is a three, it cannot be no fucking Derrick Jones Jr., bro. I'm sorry. Like, I like the guy, but he's a guy, he's a wingish guy that you have to play out of the dunker spot. Are you kidding me? Like, you're starting a non-shooting big. Derrick Jones Jr. cannot shoot, bro. I don't think he's hit a three in the preseason yet. He cannot shoot. He can't shoot. He just can't. He'll hit a corner three maybe once every couple of games, but that's about it. So with that being said, and then he doesn't really, like I said, yes, he's athletic, and he can guard a little bit. But even with the guarding, I feel like it's being gassed just a tad. Like, he's not some. The thing why I'm just so annoyed that he's even in contention for it, like quote unquote in contention, is that he's not even a big. Like, is he better than Josh on defense? Like, even if you think so, right? Even if you think so, that difference is not that big for where you want to start him. And you're saying, oh well, his length, Derrick Jones Jr. is 6'6", bro, if that. Like, yes, he got long arms and stuff like that, but it's not like he's some 6'8" dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, the differences between him and Josh, even if you think Derrick Jones Jr. is better, is not, it's very marginal. So those marginal differences should not be a swing for starting him. You know what I'm saying? Josh is he's not ideal. I understand that. I've always said it. Like, Josh is a guard to me. However, he's the best we've got internally right now. So if you want better solutions, you don't have to look externally, my guys. Like, you have to look externally. Right now, just go with the best you have. At a certain point, you have to just run with the best you have. And I think that's what we're gonna just have to do. Like, I would even start Tim before I start Derrick Jones Jr. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I
Come
agree with you.
on.
Like, he can't be an option.
Yeah, he's not a starter, bro.
If you're
Come
keeping it
on.
a buck, he just can't. He cannot. I like that it's open for competition, but hearing that Derrick Jones Jr. even has a shot does make my stomach turn a little bit. I ain't gonna hold you. I'm not gonna hold you. I don't know, man. What on the Mavs, what has impressed you? I know based on the highlights I've seen, and low key he hooped in a little bit of stretches I've watched. I'm saying Dante Exum. I think you probably agree. Is there anybody else outside of him that has really stepped up to the plate against, I guess we've played three games now?
I mean, like you mentioned, Exum, he's looked really good in his preseason, and there's still some level of hesitancy there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to gas it too much, but Exum has looked good, and he has looked better. And I know people were, I said this, and people thought I was being harsh, with saying that Exum has looked better than Hardy, and Hardy was the worst guard on the roster, like through the play we've seen. But it's just a fact. It's not supposed to be something that's mean or a dig at Hardy, because it's really not. It's just where we are at right now. And Exum, again, I thought he was going to be a guy that played spot minutes. You know what I'm saying? That comes in, maybe if a guy, one of our guards are hurt, he plays, that type of thing. If we really need defense or something like that, you insert him. I thought he'd be like that. But he's looked like, no, he can play. Like, he's a good basketball player. Like, compared to Hardy, where people are saying, oh, Hardy's a better scorer, this, that. I mean, sure. But in terms of basketball, playing basketball, running an offense, doing little things to help your team, like to impact your team positively, I think Exum hasn't beat on that. And that's okay. Exum's 27, entering his, prime, ideally. Worked his way back into the league, was a lottery pick. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like Exum is just some bum and I'm trying to throw shade at Hardy. No, it's just a fact right now. And so I'm excited for him. I think he should play. Definitely should play off the bench. Like, I do like a like him and Seth, maybe running some stuff. I mean, depending on if, Hardy can show something in this Detroit game. Because right now, to me, Hardy's fighting for minutes with Seth. That's how I see it in my head. That it's I said it when Hardy looked really good in the first game. I'm like, damn, made the Seth signing kind of useless. And a lot of people pointed out no insurance, blah blah, and you were right. But I think Seth is his biggest competition. I know people think it's Tim and stuff like that, but Tim can play. Tim is a 2-3. Tim plays 2-3. That's how I see it. So Tim plays 2-3. Seth plays 1-2. Hardy plays 1-2. So that's who he's, and then Exum ideally is playing one. Exum can play 1-2-3. That's another thing. You can run Exum with other guards, but Hardy, it is a little harder to do that. It's a little harder to do. No, really, it's a little harder to do that. And Exum is gonna guard. You know that. He's going to guard. You know that at least baseline he's gonna guard. So that's why he's a little bit more versatile in the lineups that you could put him in, which is why another reason why I do think he might play over Hardy, and I do think Seth, depending on if, I mean, if Seth just looks super cooked, they might just run with the young dude. But if Seth still looks, playable, you know what I'm saying, gives that veteran presence, you see Seth's, gravity, he can space the floor, teams are not really leaving him, and if they have to leave him, he's going to knock down open shots. At least Seth is going to make open threes at a respectable clip. Like, he might miss a few, sure, everyone, no one's gonna go 100% on open threes, but he's gonna make most, a good amount of his. So he's fine with Seth. He's fine with Seth for minutes. I mean, who's looked good? I mean, outside, I'm trying, I mean, Josh has looked okay. I don't want to Josh gas too much, gas, Josh too much, because he it's not like he's shown something great, like the super crazy where I'm like, whoa, where did this come from? He hasn't done that, but he's looked okay. You know what I'm saying? He looks like typical Josh, where he's gonna make a three sometimes. He looks still looks confident, driving to the rim. He's gonna make the passes. And he's gonna give you energy on defense. Like, Josh right now, you know what to kind of I'm happy about it. We're getting into the territory with Josh where we're at least knowing what we're gonna expect from him, other than like energy. You know, he's gonna come in and provide energy. Like it's evolving into more than that. Like he's gonna come in, he's gonna hit some corner threes here and there. He's going to, other than, you know, energy that he's always gonna provide, you know, he's going to he's a guy where if the ball's in his hands, like keep your eyes up because you know he's, you know, gonna pass. And he's driving it some, attacking closeouts and driving it. At this point, you can expect those things from Josh. The other things that you want to see, I mean, still a work in progress. I do want him to, like, when he's on the floor, especially with Kyrie, Luka, we haven't seen that much yet. But when he's in those situations, he needs to stay aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Don't try to defer too much, but he has to be aggressive as a scorer. But I mean, you see Tim's look great. Not gonna lie, he's a guy. Tim has, I think Tim, outside of like Lively looking good and Exum looking good, I think Tim is the, at least in my opinion, is really the only other guy where like, okay, like he's open, like he sounded, you know, kind of bummed on, you know, media day when talking about his role, talking about this, even though, you know, he's, and that's the thing, Tim's not gonna complain. Like he might throw, I don't want to say throw shade, but he might say some things in like pressers where like, I do feel like I'm a starter, whatever, whatever. But he's gonna play. He's gonna play when he comes in, and he's gonna do his usual Tim stuff, and he's looked good. So, I mean, I hope he can. That's the thing. I'm not never gonna say I hope he can be consistent. Tim's not gonna be a consistent dude. Just the way how he plays, he's not gonna be consistent. But if he can hit shots more than he doesn't hit shots, that's all you need. That's all you need from Tim, like, because I remember the year, was it the year before, or was it last year, he was shooting like a sub 40% from the field. Like that can't happen, you know what I'm saying? That can't happen. But as long as that's not happening and he's 37 and above from three, no complaints for me, Tim, no complaints.
Yeah, I think I don't want that play out like this, but I think we're gonna end up needing Tim to be decent just like every other year. But maybe he uses that to bait somebody into a trade. I really don't know, just because I just think, like, who needs shooting that has something that we need? And then if Derek Lively is starting, then like, what we doing? You know what I'm saying? Okay. You know what? I do want to say this. Hey man, I watched the end of that Real Madrid game, and fucking Holmes stinks, SJ.
He's, bro, I don't know what Powell did to him. Powell did something to him, bro.
He
As soon as he
stinks.
looked okay in that, like, in the little minutes he got, and then after that, he's looked so bad, bro. He's looked so bad.
It's so funny because we talked about it. It's like every time a fucking big is about to take Dwight Powell's spot, something happens to this big. He just magically forgets how to play basketball. And it happened again. Holmes looks so bad against Real Madrid. Them dudes ain't in the NBA. Sure, they're a good EuroLeague team, whatever fucking league they play in, but like, fam, he looks so bad. And he looked out of shape and he looked lazy. And like, they was trying to get him off too. All he did was shoot bricks. All he did was shoot bricks. Did he make? I don't know if he made a shot down the stretch
I don't
of
know
that
if he
fucking game.
did.
I think he went like 0 for 3 or 0 for 4. And I think the only bucket we got was low key Omax just bully ball to the rim. Shout out to that young man. But yeah, I did see that with my own two eyes, and that shit was so horrible. It was so bad. Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah, so he just, I mean, he's 6'8", bro. He's
Yeah.
6'8", and then like he, and the thing is, he's not above, he doesn't play above the rim like Powell does. Like, can he catch a lob? Yes, but
Yeah.
he, that's not, he's not springy enough. You know, he doesn't have that bounce where you throw it up and he just goes get, you know, he goes to get it immediately. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that's kind of like how you play Powell a little bit. So he doesn't have that aspect to his game. You know what I'm saying? Can he, you know, the push shot, he could do it, but that's not, as you can see, he's a little out of practice, with that. And like I said, he's 6'8", so like, some of the things on defense where you're like, oh, he should be better than Powell, like defensively, like he's shown that in the past, blah, blah, blah. Well, the past is the past, and he's still a 6'8 center trying to protect the rim. You're going to get the same, like, results that you see with Powell. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get this, or similar results, even if it's not exactly the same. So at the end of the day, I think, and I don't think they want him anyway. Like I said, the first game, he got those third string minutes. Then again, like I said, he played well in those minutes. The second game, they said, okay, let's put you in the backup role and give Powell the third stringer minutes. And then, he sucked in that role. Then they flipped it again, gave him the third stringer minutes, and he just could not do anything. So now I'm thinking, okay, he's probably gonna stay, with the third stringer minutes. And so they did, I mean, from jump, it didn't look like they wanted him. As soon as they got him, obviously he was a tax for Omax. They tried to move him, and I think that's just going to be the case all year of them trying to move him, whether it's in a package or it's just him, with maybe some seconds, and you're just trying to dump him off, even if you're not getting anything, just dumping him. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think they want him.
They
Yeah.
shouldn't shit.
Exactly, and they shouldn't. So, I mean, we thought maybe he was gonna show that he's better than Powell. And every time we maybe as we as fans, Mavs fans, we should just stop saying that, bro. We
Yeah.
should just stop, especially when it's really not a center.
It's like the kiss of death.
It's the
It's
kiss
the
of
kiss of
death,
it's
bro.
the fucking kiss of death. Like,
And these are several center. It's not even like it's one or two, and we're just dragging or trying to, reach him. It's
let's
Willie
start.
Cauley-Stein, Moses
Moses.
Brown,
No Christian
like
Wood on that fucking.
Christian Wood, McGee, Holmes. Like, it's a laundry list of bigs that come in. We think, okay, at least, Powell can go into this role. They're gonna be better than Powell, and Powell outplays them every single time, bro. Every single time.
Oh, buddy. I don't want to speak it about the young man, but I do think Derek Lively is better than him right now. I don't go that far.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's certain things on offense that Dwight still does that like Derek Lively's gonna just have to get used to, like I mean, Dwight's still a better screen setter at the moment, and I mean, Lively has good instincts on the roll, but I think Dwight's timing is still better, and just knowing where to be, like those are just little things that come, with experience. You know what I'm saying? So it just as much as he plays, he's gonna learn that and learn certain. I mean, Powell's been playing with Luka for so long, especially, so Powell knows where Luka likes to go on offense. So Powell is never really in Luka's way. That's one. I feel like that's so underrated too, of why people don't understand why Luka likes playing with Powell and why, like, it looks okay to even yes the defensive issues, blah blah blah. But it looks so good on offense because Powell understands where to be. Like so many times, not even just the Mavs, but just look at other like look at games. And you see a lot of times where the paint just looks so mucked up and weird, and guards are taking, like, we talk about bad shots, guards chucking up, blah, blah, but sometimes the guards have no choice because their big is like in their way. You know what I'm saying? And when your big is in the way, it's not just the big in the way. Guess what? That defender who's guarding the big is in the way too. So now you know what I'm saying? You're inviting your defender to mess with what your lead guard is doing because you're in the way. So I just think little things like that. The more you play with somebody, you get those straightened out. But for right now, I mean, with his defense, like I said, offensively, he's gonna have to improve definitely. I've especially, you see him, you think he might have an advantage on a small, but he got no post game. Like, he got no moves. I'm sorry, he got no moves right now. I think, was it on, I think it was on Cat though, so it wasn't necessarily a small, but they dumped the ball to him and he was trying to post Cat. That handle immediately. I think he got, I think he lost the ball immediately, like trying to do a post. Like, I'm talking immediately. He started to back down and lost the ball. So, like, he really has no offensive game right now. Outside of like lob catching. So that's obviously something that's going to have to be improved. But I mean, I like the vision on the short roll. Like, it's one thing to see the pass, but to deliver it like on target every time. Like, he delivers the ball to guys on target. And that is so impressive. Like, that's really underrated and impressive to me. Like I said, one thing is to have the vision, but to deliver the ball like accurately every time, that's a little different. So I like that. I like that. I made the Kevon Looney comparison on offense, but I like that. If he can be Kevon Looney and Tyson Chandler mixed in one, that's gonna be a damn good player. That's gonna be a damn good player.
Sure. Yeah, I'm excited. That's my big takeaway is I thought Omax would be more ready to play, and he ain't, than Derek Lively. And Derek Lively, again, I'm not setting improper expectations. He's gonna look rough. He's going to lead the NBA in fouls per minute. I don't care. I'm here for it. And I'm excited. I'm excited. SJ, I don't got anything else to talk about. What about you?
I do not. Yeah, no, I mean, last week, I know we said we do previews this week, and we laughed about it.
We got a lot going on,
Yeah, but we got one more week. We got one more week before the season, like we can get a pod episode in before the season starts, so we promise. I know this probably might not mean much to y'all, but deadass, we promise that next week we will be prepared. And even if we're not prepared, we're still gonna do it. Y'all will get the previews for the West and the East. Shit, maybe a trade will happen between now and then. See what the Clippers and 76ers got for us. Maybe the Pacers, the Buddy Hield, who knows? But we'll see. Next week we'll get it though, for real.
Yeah, because the real season don't start till the 25th. So I still think James Harden is getting traded sometime in the next week and a half. So that's going to impact shit in both conferences. So let's get it. Let's get it. Anyway, thank y'all for listening. I'm not going to hold y'all. I am faded because I started drinking during the Lions game and I kept drinking because I'm celebrating and I'm in a good mood. Shout out to the Aces. Hopefully they come back. Prayers up for Chelsea Gray. Shout out to the Lions. Shout out to the Rangers. They are up 1-0. And most importantly, because I love them other teams, but my favorite team in sports is still the Mavericks. Shout out to the Mavs. Hopefully we have a good season. Anyway, we holla at y'all next week. Peace.